I'm starting a new series today, a five-part series. It's just, on encouragement. And the title of the series is Wind in My Sails. Wind in My Sails. And obviously, there are many reasons for this series, something that I've wanted to do for a while. But the nature of life just knocks all the wind out of us. But before we get into, where we're going today, I do want to differentiate between three words that sometimes we have a tendency to use interchangeably, but they are significantly different. Disappointment, discouragement, and depression. In the same family, but they are very, very different words. Very, very different words. Today I'm going to be talking about what is encouragement and why do we need it. But disappointment is just a part of life. It's just a part of life. Disappointment doesn't mean that you're discouraged. It just means that you're disappointed. And the key word for disappointment is the word expectation. You're disappointed because an expectation hadn't been met. Doesn't mean that you're discouraged. It just means that you're disappointed. We're disappointed every day. I'm disappointed every day. I'm sure I disappoint people every day. An expectation has not been met. So I'm disappointed. This didn't work out. I'm disappointed. Crawford, you couldn't do this for us. We're disappointed. So it doesn't mean that you're discouraged. It just means that an expectation has not been met. Discouragement is a little different. The very word, you don't need an etymological study on the word. The very word discouragement means that courage has been removed. Courage has been removed from your heart. Little bit of the wind has been knocked out of your sails. It's not the garden variety of disappointment necessarily. It is something that you come up again, you're tired of trying, and then the wind has just gotten knocked out of your sails. Now, the word depression, however, depression is different. Depression means the loss of hope. You can be discouraged but not depressed. You can have the wind knocked out of your sails and you just are struggling with your courage. Although that's close to hopelessness, you're not necessarily hopeless. You're just down about something. You got to be careful, though, with depression. Depression takes you beneath the hope line. The clouds hover over you. It blocks out the sun. You begin flirting with despair. One psychologist put it this way. Depression is anger that's turned inward. You blame yourself. You're down on yourself. And you struggle to get above the hope line. But you're beaten down. I'm not talking about that today. Although, I do want to say that discouragement that is not dealt with will lead to depression. If you don't put it in perspective, you don't deal with it the way that it should be dealt with, it will always lead to depression. Now, we all get discouraged. All of us do. We all get to those points in life where we get the wind just knocked out of us. Why did that happen? All kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm looking out here, and I know some of the stories of the folks that I'm looking at right now. Discouragement has visited all of us. Now, people need encouragement like a plant needs water. You can't make it in life without encouragement. In fact, it was the late Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, who has famously said that if you're breathing, you need encouragement. You need encouragement. This is the reason why. Stop trying to be so macho or machete or whatever that the female derivative is. Stop it. We live in a world where people are pretending all the time. People are posturing and profiling all the time, pretending that they're stronger than they really are. We act as if we have more strength than we really do. And somehow or another, we've bought into this lie that I've got to project the image of total competency at all times. Who are we kidding? There are no vacancies in the Trinity. Who are we kidding? We all need encouragement. We all need strength in our souls. We all need wind in our sails. Every last one of us do. So be very careful. Be very careful of thinking somehow or another that you are immune. You're so resourceful and you're so strong and you're so talented and you're so gifted and you have so much experience that somehow or another you can weather every storm. Tell that lie to somebody else. But don't lie to yourself. We all need encouragement. Every last one of us. Now, I want you to take a look at the screen. There's a definition of encouragement that I put together. Encouragement means to inspire with courage, to stimulate and to spur on. To inspire with courage. Encouragement does not mean the denial, and we're going to get into this in a few moments, does not mean the denial of the pain or the denial of the problems or the denial of the suffering or the denial of the avalanche of disappointments. Anybody who tries to encourage you by denying what you're going through, don't listen to them. Encouragement does not do that. But what encouragement does do, looking at those things, it inspires hope. Hope in the right direction. Hope in the right place. And I'm going to talk about what that hope is in a few moments. Now, encouragement is the act of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. In future messages, I'm going to unpack this a little bit, but let me just say it right now. Listen to me. You ought to make as a number one ambition in your life that when people are around you, you invest in them more than you take from them. You ought to make that as a passion of your life. That I want people leaving my presence with joy in their souls. I want to be a source of hope and comfort for them. Now, I know that that's not always practical because sometimes it is my turn. And I have to humble myself and to receive the comfort that God wants to give me through another person. But generally speaking, we need to have that attitude. Life is too short and it's too messed up and it's too unpredictable for us to be running around here beating people up and sucking the air out of the room. Or to assume that it's all about us. We're to be inspirers of others. Now, why do we need encouragement? I want to answer that in two ways. There's some general reasons. I'm going to articulate about five of them. And then I want to get to four specific biblical reasons why we need encouragement. But then let me give you some general reasons of why we need encouragement. I could have listed like 50 of them, but there's some general reasons why we need encouragement. Number one is this. It's obvious. Life is unpredictable. I don't care how great a planner you may be. Life is unpredictable. You know, I shouldn't say, but just this morning I don't normally do this before I preach. I violated it. I don't normally do this. I don't normally open a confidential piece of mail to me before I preach because 90% of the time, it ain't good. It ain't good. Well, this one wasn't good. And so I had to get my head together. I have a fair capacity collisions and all that kind of stuff. It goes with the territory, but this one sort of rattled me a little bit. And all that to say is just an illustration of the fact that life is unpredictable. You can have your dreams and your plans and you anticipate what the day's going to look like and how it's going to go and how things are going to happen and and all of that kind of stuff. And there's a grenade that's lobbed across your path. You open up a text message after the service. You go, oh, no, really? Voicemail, oh, come on, man, seriously. Life is unpredictable, and it's unpredictable for all of us. And again, I get back to the premise, that's the reason why you have to live life with profound humility and great gratitude. Because no one can perfectly orchestrate their lives and the outcomes. Life is unpredictable. Another reason why we need encouragement is because we lose perspective. We lose perspective. I don't know about you, but this is so true with me. This is the one I have to be careful of. You know, it's amazing how you can go through seasons in your life where you can put up with a lot of disappointment if your mind is clear and you're rested, right? And you got good spiritual rhythms. But then you get in a season where you've said yes to too many things. Your mind is a little cluttered. You're not as consistent about certain spiritual disciplines. The very same amount of stuff will cause you to lose perspective. And you know what? And I'm telling you too much about myself, but with me, I know I've lost perspective when I stop responding and start reacting. That's God's flashing light for me. What do you mean by that? Well, when I start getting ticked off at people and irritated and a little short and, I'm just reacting to stuff. That means there's not enough in the tank and I've gotten too low that I can't see things in their proper perspective. We get discouraged because we lose perspective. Too much stuff flooding around. You know how it is, mom and dad, the same, the kids making noise, you know. One day it doesn't bother you. The next day, you better watch out. The loss of perspective. Another reason why we get discouraged is, and I'll say it this way, is because we're out of relationship with others. Or let me put it this way. We were made for relationship. We're made for relationship. In other words, we need others to stay strong. We need other people to stay strong. There's not a person born in the world who can make it without community. We were born for community. Even those of us, and you're looking at a dude here, even those of us who are on the introvert side of things, there's some positive things about that. As introverts, you tend to, you know, pull back and listen to your own counsel. You weigh things and think them through and that kind of thing. But you got to be careful, those of us who are introverts, you got to be careful, got to be careful, got to be careful, because we have a bent toward isolation. And when you're hurting, you don't need to be by yourself. That's the last place in the world you need to be when you're hurting. And we get discouraged because we pull back from community. We pull back from relationship. And we were born for relationship. By the way, when you're in community, it helps you with perspective, because you say, well, you know, I went through that too. I went through that. And you realize you're not the only one that's going through a hard time. So we get discouraged because we pull back from the relationships that God has given to us. And I think a fourth reason why we get discouraged, maybe I've hinted at this already, is because of seasons of disappointment and suffering. Sometimes you just have those seasons. You just have those seasons. And for those of you, I don't mean to sound condescending here, but for those of you who are not 25 or 30 years old yet, this can rattle your cage. You can assume you start assuming, well, what's wrong with me? Things are not working out and this kind of thing. I got these dreams and these ambitions and all this stuff. And they said no to this. And how come this is not happening at all? And you get frantic about this, but you have to chill, because that's part of life. There are just times in life where it's hard. Nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with your dream. Nothing's wrong with God. There's just seasons in your life where things are difficult. They're just hard. You just got to weather them. I don't know about you, but usually those things that come in bucket loads of stuff. So where's this come from? Where's that come from? How come this happened? We worked hard on this thing. How come this is not this wrong? What in the world's going on here? And by the way, parenthetically, you got to allow for spiritual warfare too. The devil's not sitting back while you gallivant across your life doing what you think God wants you to do. Seriously? So you got all these factors, and sometimes life is just hard. And by the way, I'm going to say this later on, out of that struggle, though, will come your strength. Because oddly enough, the very difficult, hard times in your life will turn out to be, later on, your source of profound encouragement. But we get discouraged because they're just seasons of disappointment and suffering. And I think the fifth reason why we get discouraged is the environment in which we live. I don't know that I have seen in my lifetime an environment that is more polarized, filled with shrill reaction, negative stuff. And I think the thing that has spurred that on, interestingly enough, is social media. And it's just amazing the critical negative environment that we live in. There's this pull toward despair all around us. It's in the air. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, I'm old enough to realize to have been around, you know, before the internet. Al Gore created. No, I shouldn't have said that. Before the internet, that was take edit that. So, you know, we did not have this access, these computers in our smartphones in our pockets, and where we had continual access to this 24-hour news cycle and all the negative stuff that's happening in the world. You could breathe a little bit. You weren't as addicted to those devices. And then on top of that, it just seems like everybody wants to be a prophet or a social critic who's on social media. Everybody's got an opinion about stuff. And usually it's negative. The name-calling stuff, the shrill things that are being said. What disturbs me, by the way, I'm going to go down this road. I've said this before, but what disturbs me more is the Christians who are getting sucked into this nonsense. I have a personal policy. Personal policy, generally speaking, I do not post criticisms or negative things on my social media feed. I don't do it. And the reason why I don't do it is because there's enough of that mess out there already. And number two, I just really feel like I'm called to be a blessing, to encourage people. Now, every once in a while, I'll speak to an issue, hopefully in an objective way. But I want to encourage you to be very careful of that now. Now, if you call yourself a little bit of a prophet, that you want to be prophetic, let me give you a piece of advice. Free advice is worth its price, but here it is. Listen. If you want to be prophetic and you want to spout off on social media, you want to put your feet out there, articulate what's going on in the country, in the world, this kind of thing, if you call yourself a prophet, you better be 100% right about your assessment. 100% right. And be very careful of attaching Jesus to your opinion. Just saying. And but this is rife in our world today. And it's no wonder there's the explosion of mental illness and struggle and depression and discouragement and people feeling down about themselves, the comparisons and all this stuff that's taking place. Because it's in the environment. As I was thinking about that, I remember a song. I just love this song. It's an old song, oldie but goodie. It's a great one. It was written. It was recorded back in 1983 by Ann Murray. I love this song. And as I was working through all of this, I just remembered the song. The title of the song is There Any Good News Today? It's amazing. By the way, go online, go on YouTube and listen to the song. I mean, I love the song. But I want to quote these lyrics to you because even though a little bit of the social events back then are outdated, the emphasis and the truth of what she says is as relevant as this morning. I rolled out this morning. Kids had the morning news show on. Brian Gumbel was talking. Show you how old this that was. Brian Gumbel was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's going to get worse, you see. We need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band One more sad story, one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing bad to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store in the lower part of town, nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down, nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. I'll come home this evening. I'll bet that the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage. Somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchor man talk about a county fair, and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody learned to care. Tell me, nobody was assassinated in the whole third world today. And in the streets of Ireland, all the children had to do was play. And everybody loves everybody in the good old USA. We sure could use a little good news today. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like that? The reason why so many of us struggle with depression is that we have been tainted with the darkness, contaminated with the negative. And we don't even realize it. In fact, it's drained us of our ability to be compassionate and to be hopeful and to be positive. Because we've been bombarded with all of this nonsense and the cloud of negative stuff. So it's no wonder why we get discouraged. Well, we need encouragement because of these factors, but I think specifically there are four great biblical reasons why we need encouragement. There are many more than these four, but these are four grand biblical reasons why we need encouragement. Now, I'm going to be very practical later on in the series, but I felt as if we needed to grab a hold of these things. The very first reason why we need encouragement is because we need endurance and hope. I'm going to be turning to a number of passages, so you might just want to jot these down rather than flipping back and forth. But in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. Now listen to this line, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And let me say here, hope, again, as I've said many times here, biblically does not mean speculation. But hope here means confidence. Where do we get confidence? Where do we get that rock solid assurance? Where does it come from? Does it come from the outcomes that we anticipate? Does it come from our plans? Does it come from our dreams? Does it come from our hopes, our goals, or all of those kinds of things? No, not really. Not really. Our ultimate rock solid confidence is a product of endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures. This is really remarkable. That's where we get this hope from. And by the way, you might want to jot down Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, years ago, I did a series of on faith here at the church. And one of the things I pointed out was you got to recall that Hebrews chapter 11, the argument or the subject matter does not end at chapter 11, but it ends probably at chapter 12, verse 4. Because those four verses is the reason why he wrote about faith in chapter 11. Actually, he writes about faith and endurance in chapter 11 to motivate us. So he says in the beginning of chapter 12, therefore, since we have this great cloud of witnesses that surround us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And he says, oh, by the way, just in case these other biographical snapshots didn't inspire you enough, let me give you the ultimate portrait of endurance. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then he says, and consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners, so that you will not grow weary and faint in your souls. Encouragement. We need encouragement to endure. To endure. Now, this text is interesting here in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The expression, so that we might have hope. In Greek grammar, it's in the present tense. Well, what's so important about that? Well, the meaning here is it's emphatic. Not that we will eventually obtain hope, but that we have hope right now, meaning that we always have hope. We always have hope. Why do we always have hope? Well, because of endurance and the encouragement of Scripture. Now, if you're like me, you say, well, that's sort of a weird grammatical construct. Endurance is a process and not a source, right? You look at the verse, say, endurance, why are you presenting endurance as a source and not as a process? I get encouragement of the Scripture. But then when I sat back and thought about it, it is a source. It is a source. What you have endured becomes the encouragement to continue to endure. When you've been through something and God took you through it, you look back and go, yes. I've been there before. God did that. He saw me through. It's not bad as I thought. No, he's done that. And the encouragement of the Scriptures. See, God allows us to go through discouragement so he can drive us to the right source. The source of your courage is not more ideas. The source ultimately of your encouragement is not just the empty words or good advice from a friend who had similar experiences. The real source of your encouragement when you're down is to shut out everything else, get down on your knees and open up that book. Open up that book. Open up that book. Put your heart and your eyes on the pages of that book and let the promises of God wash your soul. That's where the encouragement lies. And by the way, Paul tends to intimate that the whole purpose of the Scriptures is to encourage us, to inspire us to continue. Some of us in here, we've had all kinds of things taking place. A woman told me in the first service that she lost her job this past week. It's for a good reason. She stood up for what was right. These things will happen to us. Oh, yeah, they will. How do you keep on going? So, this hope is fueled by endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures. So the very first reason why we need encouragement is because we need endurance and hope. The second reason why we need encouragement is because we need to be strengthened in our faith. We need to be strengthened in our faith. Now, this does not sound pleasant to us here, okay? But I've lived long enough to see how tragedies have become sources of strength. How bitter disappointment in my own life has become really a food source for me today. And it really, really is true here. And so, God wants our faith to be strengthened. In order to strengthen our faith, he's not going to remove the opposition. He's not going to remove it. He's not going to take it all away. He's not going to take away some of the pain that we have to experience. He's not going to shield us from it because he wants to strengthen our faith. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Encourage, build. Encourage, build. Encourage, build. Encourage, build. Help them to be strong in their faith. Help them to be strong in their faith. We all need to be strengthened in the faith. The implication here in this text is that we all need ongoing encouragement in order to develop a strong faith. Listen to me. Look, faith is not the denial of problems or pain or hard times. Stay away from Christians or anybody that teaches you that faith means to claim that this does not exist. That's nuts. That's worse than poor theology. In the Bible, you never find God telling us to deny the pain that we face. You never find God telling us to deny the reality of this situation. You get a bad report, it says that you have cancer. Don't you dare stand up and look yourself in the mirror and say, I don't have cancer. I'm claiming this cancer away. I don't have cancer. No, faith does not do that. Faith does not do that. Be like you saying you had money. I got money. And you stand in front of somebody with the grocery store at Publix with a basket load of stuff, and they say, show me the money. You say, money cometh. No, you stayeth. No, faith, you see how silly we get? You say, faith does not do that. Faith does not deny the opposition, but it defies the opposition. Faith does not stop with the problem. It recognizes the problem, but it goes through the problem, and it sees God as greater than what you're facing. It faces reality. But it also realizes that God is reality. And God is greater than and greater still. And what we need when we're discouraged is to have our faith strengthened. And by the way, I hate to say this, but you'll never have a strong faith until you've been disappointed. Until your soul has been threatened. Until things don't work out. You don't develop strong faith by watching videos of other people working out. And that's what we do. We, podcast and even listen to this idiot up here and take notes, and you're just watching videos of other people working out. But you got to build up that faith, and that therefore sometimes he'll allow things not to work out for you, a lot of stuff not to work out for you. So that we build that faith up. Faith affirms God's ability and power, and it stands on the promises of his word. So that's another reason why we need to be encouraged, because our faith needs to be strong. God is more concerned about Christ-like characteristics than he is about our temporary comfort. Do you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? That ain't American theology. But he wants Christ-like characteristics. He wants your faith to be real. Not just a bunch of creeds. But there's some holy authenticity there. What ends up happening to us, however, is that when we take our eyes off the ball and we empower the problems and the issues and the pain and the disappointments that are around us, it doesn't end well. Talk to Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. This always stands as a warning to me. For you see, Elijah was not a novice when it came to believing God and seeing God work in supernatural ways. This is the reason why I don't care if you've been a believer for 6 months or 60 years, none of us are immune to giving in to discouragement. We've got to be careful. And what happens to Elijah? You know the story. He'd been on Mount Carmel and just seeing God blow down fire from heaven, and all the prophets of Baal, they were taken care of, and God affirms who he is. And this ain't Elijah's first rodeo, man, because he had seen amazing miracles take place, and he had seen God use him in great ways. But he's worn out. He's worn out in chapter 19. He's exhausted. He's tired. He loses perspective. And so he hears that Jezebel says, you're so dead, Elijah. You're dead. You kill my aunt. You're dead. I'm coming after you. Not in normal circumstances. A couple of chapters earlier, Elijah said, well, you know, okay, I don't mean to brag, but, you know, you come on. You ain't going to kill me until God's done with me. So come on over here, sweetheart. So what does Elijah do? He's discouraged. He's beneath the hope line. And Elijah refuses to let God encourage him. You read the text. You read that. Elijah refused to let God encourage him. This is where discouragement can be. You can get so used to self-pity that it becomes permanent. You can pout, get mad. And that's what happens to Elijah. And without encouragement, the challenges and hardships of life become meaningless, and we lose the will and motivation to go on. And our faith is just drained right out of us. And that's what happened to him. The third biblical reason as to why we need encouragement is because we need to have pure, open, responsive hearts. Pure, open, responsive hearts. Where do you get that from? Well, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to these words. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Notice the urgency there. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. And the reason for that is that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You might think it's strange. Well, this is a message on why we need encouragement. What are you talking about sin for? No. Because you have to understand the purpose of all of life and the purpose of all the events in my life is to produce holiness in and through me. It is produced the glory of God. I'm going to say this in the fourth point, but let me just tip my hand a little bit. Remember, life is not about you. Life is not about what we want to do. Life is not about what we want to accomplish. Life is not about our personal preferences. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is, look. What you need to do is, you got to remember, you need to be pure Crawford, and you need to have an open, responsive heart. One of the things that Karen and I have prayed for our children, and now we pray for our grandchildren, we pray for them all the time. This one thing, God, give them tender, responsive hearts. Don't let them get cold and callous. And we want to encourage people, no matter what, to respond to God and to respond to the purity that needs to be in your heart, Crawford. Don't shrink back from that. Exhort people. Encourage them. The option is not to shrink back and start doing sinful things. No, move forward. Grow. Develop. Overcome. Get victory. That's what this journey is really, really all about. And by the way, this happens in community. That's what he's talking about. This is a call to guard against a sinful, unbelieving heart, underscored by mutual and loving concern for one another. And again, we're hyper-individualistic here, and you don't want people jumping up in our business. But sometimes people need to get in our business. That's true. Sometimes people need to get in our business. If we have sinful habits that we are pursuing, no one sins, especially if they're a believer. Hear me on this. If we are believers, no one ever sins privately. Our personal sin has public repercussions. And we're to relate to one another and to love each other so much that we're encouraging one another and exhorting one another to be the very best that we possibly can be. Now, there's an interesting downside of what I'm saying here is that, and I don't mean to blame the victim, but sometimes we're discouraged and our discouragement is self-imposed, meaning this. The source of our discouragement happens to be our personal sinfulness. And we want to ignore it. We want God to bless us. And I'll go here with this. I had someone tell me not long ago, their adult child is a believer, loves Jesus, and his girlfriend loves Jesus. They're adults, and they're living together. And they ain't in separate rooms either. They're living together. So, but he is very discouraged. And the reason why he's very discouraged, he's wondering, well, why things aren't working out? I love the Lord Jesus. How come that this doesn't work out? Everything's falling apart in my life. This one, this guy said, time out. Now, people who are living right suffer too. man, hey, you are making these sinful decisions and choices. And you're expecting God to bless you. You want to be encouraged, and yet you don't want to respond to God in this area of your life. What you're doing is you're trying to manipulate and use God, and God is standing back saying, I ain't going to do it, buddy. I'm going to allow this to take place in your life until you cry, Uncle. And your discouragement is a product of your disobedience. Now, that's an unpopular thing to say here, but I've been around long enough and been a pastor long enough to realize that some of the angst in our lives and some of the pain in our lives comes from bad choices that we have made. And we don't want to make those things right. But you see, repentance removes the darkness and discouragement that hovers over our souls. And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul says we need to have pure, responsive hearts so that we can enjoy the pure encouragement that comes from our great God. And there's the hardening tendencies of all of sin. And the fourth and the final reason why we need encouragement is because, and I suppose this is sort of the general catch-all reason, it's simply because we are called to reflect the honor and glory of God. Did you hear what I said? It's the honor and glory of God. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "We exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you." You think he's serious about this? "To walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." In glory. The point being here is this. Look. God has called all of us to reflect the honor and glory of God. I don't know about you, but there's still stuff in my life that doesn't reflect the honor and glory of God. And he wants me to be aggressive about making sure that my life does that. You see, I've said this earlier here, the whole point of life, the whole reason why human beings are here in this world, hear me on this. The whole reason why human beings are here in this world is not for God to come alongside and do everything that I want him to do in my life. That's not the reason why we're here. The whole reason why we are here is because my life, every bit of my life, has to reflect the honor and glory of our great God. The statement that I make in life is not Crawford's contribution to human history. The statement that I make in life is God's contribution through my life during my moment in history. You follow what I'm saying? And so to be created in the image of God, as I alluded to last week, the image of God is more than just having intellect, emotion, and will, and creative tendencies of mankind and problem-solving stuff that we see all of this portrayed in the Trinity and all that stuff. And that's just a little bit of that. The image of God has to do with the stewardship of the glory of God. You follow what I'm saying? And we need to be encouraged with that. That. And our plans need to be written in pencil, where we really believe that everything about my life brings him glory, and my joy is found in glorifying him and not in the accomplishment of my life plan. I did not say not to have that. Certainly we need to have those dreams, and some of those dreams are from the Lord. But I don't hold that up as the end game. The end game is the glory of God. That's the reason why Paul said in the book of Philippians, they're going to kill him, okay? And he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if he chooses for me to stay here a little while longer, I hope it's for your benefit, but ultimately for his glory. And that's really the objective of our encouragement. Do you hear me? Now, I know this stuff doesn't sound practical. I know it doesn't. But this is the essence of what it's all about. This is the reason why you can go to the hospital. I've had this happen to me so many, many times. I am overwhelmed by one of our members who is at death's door or whatever, and I go into her room and think, and I'm saying, Lord, what do I say? And I don't say anything. The glory of God is all over this person. They end up encouraging me more than I do them. Why? Because they got it. They got it. They got it. So these are the immovable pillars of biblical encouragement. It's not getting what I want that makes me rejoice. It is getting what he wants and being what he wants that brings joy to our souls. So I leave you with these two things. If you're discouraged, and chances are somebody in here is, if you're discouraged, you've been wrestling with it, I want to encourage you to sit down and find out why. Just think through why. Why am I discouraged? Why am I discouraged? Find out why. I gotta tell you, I do this often. I mean, in my life, there's always something to be discouraged about, and sometimes it catches up with me. Why? And then the second thing I would say is, ask yourself the question, in the midst of this funk that I'm in right now, in this dark place, Crawford buddy, who and what are you focusing on? Who and what are you focusing on? Are you afraid this is going to make you look bad? Are you afraid of loss? What are you focusing on? Let's stand together. Jesus says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 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 If you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus today, that invitation is for you. Maybe you're laboring under the burden of sin, and sin is a burden. Sin is hard. The guilt that's associated with it, the alienation, and two steps forward and three steps backwards. He says, come. Come. And he stands and he says, I stand here to forgive you of all that you've ever done wrong and to make you my child. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I turn from my sin and I trust you as my Savior and Lord. After I pray, there'll be elders and Stephen ministers and prayer warriors in this service. Some of our staff members will be up front here. Would love to pray with us, any of us that's struggling. If you're going through a hard time, if you're down, remember what I said about community. Don't turn around and walk out of here and further encase yourself in the darkness. Reach out and say, I need some help. Will you just pray with me? Sometimes what we need, we don't need people talking a whole bunch or saying a whole bunch of stuff. We just need somebody to love us, to listen, and to pray. Father, thank you for yourself, and thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth of the word of God. Lord, we're not trafficking in cute little phrases and tweetable statements. But God, we have jumped headlong into your word. And we pray, God, that your word would enrich our hearts, deliver us, pouring into us the encouragement and the hope and the direction that we need. Oh God, we want you to be honored and glorified by everything that we say and do. Thank you for your promises. Dismiss us from this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name, 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 amen.